Yeah, the bass is dropped. We are live in Marietta, and we'll give a plug because at least two of us had lunch at the Jerusalem Bakery and Grill, and it was awesome.
Yes.
One of us ate Jell-O because he's not allowed to eat right now.
No, he's not.
He's also 108.
That too. But we're not here to talk about lunch, although this place is highly recommended. We are here to talk about Atlanta United played Georgia Storm in the first preseason match of the 2022 season. Two 30-minute halves. Had a chance to watch that. Had a chance to hear from Jackson Conway, Tyler Wolf, and Gonzalo Pineda afterwards. And we'll take some questions from you guys as well. Tweet at us, at soccer down here, if you are listening live and have questions. If we don't get these today, and we haven't answered them in some form or fashion, we'll try to work them into tomorrow's show. Tomorrow we'll be back normal time, 9:05. Jarrett and I, hopefully Jarrett,
yes,
we'll hang out for the first 30 minutes of the show. Then Dylan Butler will join us from MLSsoccer.com. Then Mike Conti will join us at 10 o'clock. Then we will have Tom Robinson of World Football Index and the Pinnacle South American Football Podcast. That's a packed show tomorrow, but we will get into your questions if we don't get them here. So tweet at us at Soccer Down Here if you got any. We're going to kind of go in chronological order. The first 30 minutes was what you would consider a first-choice group right now. Now, obviously, guys are away on international duty. George Bello just returned from international duty, but he had a couple days off from the group. He was there. But did not play. Hyndman and Sosa are not ready to participate in games yet. Anybody else outside of the international duty guys that wasn't available today? I don't think so.
Jake
with the green card still away. That's been consistent.
Nothing that was
Lopez
expected.
And Lopez and Marco were excused.
Yeah, which
Marcelino Moreno had it picked up. That's
the one. Thank you. We know the Lopez and Barco situation. We talked about it plenty. There's no surprises there. Moreno took a knock in training yesterday. Got stepped on day to day, but it's not expected to be anything serious. So the first 30, and again, it was two 30-minute halves. The first 30 was Brad Guzan in goal, Andrew Gutman at left back, George Campbell and Alan Franco at center back, Aiden McFadden as the right back from Atlanta United 2, Osvaldo Alonso as the defensive midfielder, Mateus Hosetu, who was with Hosetu? Why am I drawing a blank in the middle?
Tyler Wolf
was the 10. On the right side, it was Luis Araujo. On the left side, it was Eric Centeno, Danny Centeno. And up top, it was Jackson Conway. They played the full 30. Jarrett, your thoughts about the first 30 that saw Atlanta score two goals?
It was good from Atlanta. You spent a lot of time in the attacking half, and I think a lot of that is because, you know, the Storm, and we can get into this a little bit, the Storm has a bunch of players that are coming together, and they're not really a cohesive unit at that situation.
So, they're not in season right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a group. Some of those guys have played together.
Yeah.
It was some guys from their NPSL team last year.
But it's not a complete puzzle.
Right, and they're not training every day, and they're not at a professional level.
So they
struggled early.
Yeah,
for sure.
They were pinned back early. There was a time where when Atlanta got pushed into their defensive half, I was surprised they knew where the defensive half was because they hadn't been there. But they stayed on the front foot. You got two goals, one from Tyler Wolf, one from Jackson Conway, and you know it was what you expected from, you know, if I had to put together a first team going up against guys who there's some chemistry but not a full chemistry set together, and Atlanta stayed on the front foot and got to get some of their attacking players in good situations. But I thought as the first 30 wore on that the Storm kind of stabilized their legs a bit, and it evened out a little bit as the back end of that first 30 went on. But good performances from a number of players in Atlanta's side. And
who stood out to you
from Atlanta's side? Really impressed with Alonso. Not Alonso's not the guy that he was, where he can just go sideline to sideline and clean up everything. He's not that sweeper he was when he was in his mid-20s. Still played a number of very good diagonal balls out to out to Aiden McFadden, who was on the right-hand side. I was impressed with McFadden. He had a tough matchup. The name escapes me. I apologize.
Wilfred Camden Chupa, or Chupa Camden. I've seen it both ways. Player who impressed me a lot in NPSL last year. He was good, and he made McFadden work defensively. Good matchup there, and I thought he was the most impressive player from the Storm, for sure. Who else stood out to me? Andrew Gutmann, I thought was very good. They worked the left side a lot. I like Centeno's game. I think he's got to adjust to the speed of the professional level. But he had personality. He tried to attack people. He went 1v1. Gonzalo Pineda talked about it afterwards, how typically he played on the right side in college. He was moved to the left here because Araujo was on the right. It didn't seem to really faze him. I mean, I think the biggest thing that you saw was with the draft picks who are coming from the college game, you saw a need for their brain to go a little bit faster and their technique to be a little bit cleaner, which is typical. That's just very typical. In college, you have a little more time on the ball, a little more time to figure things out. Here, you don't have that. And a credit to the Storm for making the guys really work in those situations. It absolutely fulfilled everything that you want it to fulfill because it was a good training exercise. First 30, John, who stood out to you that we haven't gotten into?
I'll say Luis Araujo. It was great to see him close up and to see the artistry that is a part of Araujo's game. And he looked like he was ready to hit midseason form. I know it's early and all that kind of stuff, but the artistry is there. The imagination was there that we got to see last season from up on high and you got to call. So it was good to see Luis Araujo integrate as well. And I know we can get into Tyler Wolf and Jackson Conway a little bit as well, considering they were the ones that scored the goals. You mentioned Gutmann. It was good to see Ozzy Alonso get involved. And McFadden was another one for me that stood out as well.
I mean, I thought McFadden was fine. I don't know if he showed that he's ready for MLS-level competition just yet, which is okay. I mean, he's a converted attacker playing right back, and he was a true right back in a 4-3-3 today. He was fine. He wasn't bad at any stretch. I think defensively, he had a couple of wins that he needed to have in 1v1 situations. He got caught on the ball, and Camden Chupa took it off of him one time that created a dangerous situation. I thought Araujo showed the explosiveness. That's going to be the big thing that separates him in this league. He's got a first step and a second step that'll blow past most players in Major League Soccer. And when he can get a little bit of space to get going, watch out. He's a fun one to watch. The second goal was really impressive. It was a corner that Atlanta was defending, and the ball popped out to the right side, and Tyler Wolf delivered a beautiful pass up the line. Tyler was asked about it afterwards, and it's not a build-up situation. It's nothing like that. It's Tyler Wolf making a play. And he made a big play to spring the attack down the right side, and it ends up with Conway, and he slots it home 1v1 with the keeper. Anything else from the first 30 that jumped out to you guys?
I mean,
it was solid. There's not a ton there. Yeah. It was just solid.
It was good to see George Campbell get out there again and get a run.
Didn't get tested very much.
No, but he showed what I want to see from him, which is using that athleticism and the strength to defuse situations before they become situations.
Yeah.
But it's what I expect from him at this point because of the situation he's going to be in.
Right.
But it's like a lot of things. The simple expected things are only simple and expected until they become a problem when they're not. But he did what he was supposed to do. It was fine on that front. Midfield was what you expect to. Mateus Setu is still just really just such a calming, chilled out presence on the ball.
Wolf was really good with his movement. I thought he played the 10 role really well and finding space. I was really impressed with that. Anything else on you from the first 30, John?
Just looking at George Campbell again, just reinforcing legitimately, Jarrett, does it look like he gained like 7 inches and 30 pounds in the offseason?
I keep telling you guys you need to get your eyes checked.
It does feel that way. He's getting bigger, and all these guys, I think, this is the benefit of having these young players getting into, they're already still growing because they're teenagers, which we have to remember, but yes. It's also the fact that
Campbell's in his 20s now. Come on.
I thought he was still 19.
No, give him a little bit of maturity there.
No thanks. He's always been more mature than his age.
Yeah.
I will give him credit
100%.
For that.
Yeah.
But it's young players that are in a fitness plan and nutrition plan that is benefiting them, and you're seeing them max out their physical potential. I think the thing I'm impressed with is we saw players who looked a little bit bigger, but the athleticism and explosiveness wasn't gone. They're not sacrificing that quickness and the athleticism just to get gains.
Okay, let's talk about the second 30. I'm going to try to remember the lineup off the top of my head. This is dangerous.
Okay.
Bobby Shuttleworth in goal.
Right.
Mikey Ambrose on the left side. Alex DeJohn and Noah Cobb from Atlanta United's Academy at center back. Bryce Washington at right back. Amar Sadic.
Yep.
This is where I'm going to mess up. Franco Ibarra. And Robbie Mertz were your three central midfielders. And then two of your draft picks, Blayo on the right side and Shuanmi up top and Darwin Mateus on the left wing.
Check.
See, I don't need the 7 pages of notes where you can't do it.
I gotta
remember.
Anyway.
That's true. That is very true. I can't read it.
Yeah, like, literally. That's my notes.
I literally can't read that.
Looks like a chicken with Parkinson's.
I got nothing. Efrain Morales came in about midway through and played about 15 minutes or so. Came on for Mertz and sat a little bit deeper. Sadic pushed up higher. No goals in the second 30. Storm made a few subs later, but they stayed with a lot of their group. Competitive. Again, it was good. It was a little more give and take in the second 30, which you would expect with the drop-off in level from Atlanta United's group. I thought the player who most impressed me in the second 30 was Noah Cobb.
Yep.
I thought Noah Cobb was brilliant. He's 16. Really, really strong in reading the game. Pretty good on the ball. But his defensive reads and his positioning was really good. I mean, even Bobby Shuttleworth was yelling at Noah to organize the back line, and he did, and he was speaking up at 16 with that group. He was the only academy player in the group today, and you wouldn't have been able to pick him out if you didn't know that. He didn't play like an academy player. A couple of good opportunities. Darwin Mateus had a really nice chip to create an opportunity. Mikey Ambrose had a great cross to create a header on the back post. I thought Tola Shuanmi had a nice defensive play off the set piece and started a break. Those were the things that jumped out, but it was really Noah Cobb for me in the second 30 that was the headliner to me.
Yeah, Noah Cobb is... John, I think you had mentioned the idea that Noah Cobb being that next homegrown, and I wasn't sure if he could be, but if he's going to keep doing this and he's going to get the opportunities with the second team this year, Noah Cobb's making a name for himself, and he's been incredibly impressive doing all the little things right, even when he, you know, got in a situation today where he needs to, you know, shield out and cut off play.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn into a disaster. It turns into a situation where he's defending 1v1, and it's not a mess. He ends up getting called for a foul in that situation. It's a very ticky-tack foul. But it wasn't a disaster because it slows things down. It slows the breakdown. They reorganize, and he does a good job of being in the right space at the right time. I, as one of the charter members of the Darwin Mateus fan club, Darwin's an explosively unique player. Like, in that split moment, he's going to give you something like that little lift of a ball at the top of the 18.
Yeah.
I believe he played in Mikey.
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of scooped it over a defender.
Yeah.
And Ambrose was making a run from the outside.
And the game, and, you know, he's going to try and find the game and try and make those plays, and when he's on, it's incredibly electric. Now, what he's got to find is more consistency, which he'll get with the twos this year, as I think he's more settled into the United States than he was at this time last year, for sure. Jason, you talked about Robbie Mertz. The game really just didn't find him. Mertz is a guy we were a big fan of last year that I feel like Robbie Mertz makes the players around him better.
Yeah.
And we saw that a lot with the twos last year. The game just wasn't really there. It wasn't the kind of a game where he could do that today in that 30-minute segment.
Yeah, they didn't really dominate possession, so they weren't able to find him in dangerous spots between the lines. I thought Morales looked good when he came on.
Mm-hmm.
A player who's had injury issues, a player who, you know, has been on a homegrown deal for a minute now, and he's still very young, still very big, maybe a little more thick at this point in his growth, but he looked very sure of himself when he came on. He played with a lot of confidence, and he is apparently going to be a holding midfielder. He is not going to be a center back. He came on in that role here. Tony Annan always said he was a six, not a center back. He played as a six last season with Atlanta United 2 in limited minutes. He's going to be a holding midfielder. He's going to be a very large holding midfielder, but he's got the ability on the ball to play it, and he's got the lateral movement to play it. Who else have we not talked about that you wanted to mention, John?
Okay. Well, for me, it was good to see Bobby Shuttleworth out there getting the command. I know that we're looking at, you know, second keepers and things like that, but Bobby Shuttleworth, for me, good to see him out there and getting his points across how he needs to get them across. And the language was, you know, language was colorful, but you get your points across in different ways. Bobby Shuttleworth was there for me. But no, I mean, for me, Noah Cobb.
It was colorful.
It was. But no, for me, there was one instance for Noah Cobb that was an example of how I think that his game has grown. There was a 1v2 on the far side as we were watching. And he didn't let that situation get the best of him. He sticks out his left leg as the pass is trying to get past him, sticks out his left leg, deflects the ball away, and it slows everything down for Georgia Storm. I thought that for me was one of those instances where you see the growth of a Noah Cobb not jumping in too quickly, not trying to sit there and force something that would have it go the wrong way for Atlanta United defensively. I thought that the decision-making for Noah Cobb was great to see in that instance.
In that situation, it was positioning.
Yeah.
Because
he's at 1v2.
Yeah. He's one against two attackers, and he didn't overcommit. He was able to defend both and not give an easy opportunity to get beaten. He positioned himself really well. He delayed things really well. And when he had an opportunity to deflect a pass, he did. He read it really, really well, but it all started with the positioning and not overcommitting.
And Blow, you also had a shot off the crossbar, if I remember correctly.
I believe that was off Mikey's cross.
And so,
yeah, that was the one off of Ambrose's cross of the back post.
And so, you know, to see the draft pick, seeing Shawunmi, who is going to be a presence, if, you know, you look at him possibly as an Atlanta United, because just how large and physically imposing he is from the waist up.
Whether he's here in Atlanta or somewhere else, he's going to be a presence because he's a black hole of a human being.
He's a large man, mm-hmm. and he's got good feet. That was what I was impressed with in one play leading the team out of the back, defending a set piece. He's got good feet.
Smoother than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It wasn't choppy and good. It was just... And it wasn't sluggish.
Like, no, it wasn't sluggish by any stretch.
As speaking as a large human being who was kind of sluggish with their feet.
I've seen you play foot golf. Sometimes sluggish.
Yeah, it wasn't that. He was very smooth and confident with it. And it was nice to see in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got potential to be a pro, for sure. A couple of things before we get into comments from Jackson and from Tyler and from Gonzalo. Keep in mind that second group, even the first group, because you had Aiden McFadden there. Centeno is under contract. He's under a Generation Adidas contract. He has an MLS deal. McFadden does not. He's an Atlanta United 2 player. Shawunmi and Blayu do not have contracts as of yet, and neither does Noah Cobb. He's an academy player. He's not an Atlanta United 2 contracted player.
He's also 16, no rush.
He just turned 16, not that long ago.
It's
what,
not
about
a,
six
don't,
months.
This isn't a rushing thing.
No.
I just want to nip that in the bud, so don't feel like you're rushing Noah Cobb here.
Right. No need to. There's plenty of center backs here. He's going to get plenty of minutes with Atlanta United 2. He showed today that, his development is maybe a little bit faster than we might have thought. I thought because of his age, he wouldn't be the next homegrown signing. I still don't think he is. I think there might be somebody in between. But if he keeps developing from where he is today, he will be a homegrown signing. He has that potential. He was very clean on the ball. And the biggest thing, I mentioned it before, I think it's a key, you know, as you guys get a chance to see this team against Georgia Revolution on Sunday, and other streams in the preseason. For me, what I'm looking for on Sunday now will be a little bit faster, a little bit cleaner on the ball from Centeno, from the twos players who move up, like Mertz and McFadden. A little bit quicker to make the decisions. Bryce Washington today, playing right back, which he did a lot last season, you know, making the run a little bit earlier, not waiting for the ball to be delivered, going and asking for the ball to be delivered. Little things like that to get out ahead of the game. That's the next step. It's game one. It's a week or so into preseason. It's exactly what Gonzalo Pineda wanted from a calendar perspective and the way you build. But that's what we saw today. Sunday, you want to see progress from here.
You do, and you know, you talk about Bryce Washington, those situations. There are three or four instances today where it's Franco Ibarra playing in a ball down the right side. And
yeah, Ibarra was really good today. We haven't really mentioned him, but yeah, he was really good on the ball.
Work.
He was good on the ball, too.
Yeah.
And that's something that he's shown. I've been impressed.
It's the Carlos Carmona effect. Carlos Carmona was good on the ball, but it was just kind of thankless work a lot of times. But he played three or four balls that were down the right side. You're looking for Bryce Washington to make that run in the same way you saw Aiden McFadden make it in the first segment, because this team plays with style.
McFadden will always go.
Yeah.
And he'll go even when the ball's not going to come.
Yeah. McFadden's looking for it.
Where Bryce is the other way. It's like sometimes he waits for the ball to start coming to make the run.
But to your point, he's a center back.
And he's being converted, or at least being able to add to his versatility to play some right back.
Now, Bryce is so athletic. He's waiting for that ball to get hit before he takes off, and he's still almost catching up to it. I think as he gets more comfortable, whoever is playing that six role for the second team, whether it's an Efrain Morales or whoever it might be playing those balls in for Bryce, if he times up those runs and gets more confident, you run into a situation where it could be a lot of fun for him getting forward.
Yeah,
for
sure. And that's one of the things that I noticed as well with the younger players, the ones with less experience, the college players that were in, you can almost see them thinking instead of the instinct of whether it's jumping into a play, pursuit, what have you. There's always that beat of a thought before they get engaged into the play. And obviously, once again, first time out, trying to get integrated, and with time, you're hoping that thought just turns into more instinct instead of beat, thought, action. You want that to become more instinctual over time.
Yeah. We'll get your questions after thoughts about the comments we heard from Jackson, from Tyler, and from Gonzalo. I'll just kind of go through each of them really quick and what I took away. Jackson Conway wants to be the number two striker here, and he wants to play. And if that means he plays for the USL team, he'll play for the USL team. He wants to get games, he wants to get minutes, but he wants an opportunity to prove himself. I like his confidence. He talked a little bit about Gonzalo and just the feel and the vibe around the club and how it feels more free than it did, really comparing it to early last season. Felt like he gets to be maybe a little bit more of himself, as opposed to, I think he used the word robot at one point that a lot of people picked up on. Everybody's got different mentalities, and Gonzalo mentioned it because it started to become a recurring theme in the comments. You know, every manager has a different way, and there's not one way that is right and one way that is wrong. Every manager has a different approach. Obviously, with the personalities of the group and, frankly, the results, the way that was working under Gabriel Heinze early last season, it wasn't working. It was the way they were trying to work, and it wasn't getting the right product at the end of it. So doing something different is an obvious approach. Now, Gonzalo made it clear that he's not doing something different to be different. He's being himself. And that's the number one thing, is if you're a little bit more of a taskmaster, you better coach like you're a little bit more of a taskmaster. If you're not able to be that person, you can't coach that way. You can't be somebody you're not and get people to work hard for you. You can't. Tyler talked a little bit about some of the things that he's trying to improve on, some of the things that he wants to do. These were two young guys who are trying to earn playing time. And, Tyler talked about being productive. And it's something that has come up with young players consistently is, you can read the game well and be out ahead. You can, make good movements. You can be in the right spots. But ultimately, whatever position you're in, you've got to produce. And Tyler did that today, and he had a couple misses as well. Or he had a miss, really, is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. The second one was kind of harsh.
Second one was a little harsh, but he had a miss where he should have done better. That's the game. But ultimately, and I think Tyler and Jackson kind of in his own way echoed it, like, young players have to do all those things in the build-up phases right. They have to do all those things on the field right, but they got to produce too. Jackson talked about his pressing as another thing he's really working on improving this year. Gonzalo, got pretty detailed, and I'm assuming everything will be posted on Atlanta United's YouTube later, like it was last week. Go back and listen to the answers Gonzalo had. He got very detailed in, kind of things he's looking to see. The number one takeaway for me is the progression in preseason. It was 2:30s today. Guys went 30 minutes max, maybe a little bit more on Sunday, a little bit more when they're in Mexico over two games. And then Birmingham's a little bit more of a dress rehearsal as you get ready for opening day. But it's a build. You're not coming in and playing too much too early. There's a lot of concerted work with the sports science department, Ryan Alexander, to manage the workload of these guys. It is a very well thought out plan to get these guys ready for opening day. And we saw that from a fitness perspective and work today, but we also saw, I think Gonzalo at one point talked about the buildup, for example, and building out of the back, how it was, basic stuff today. They weren't really looking for any very complicated, not routines, but, patterns of movement. It was all pretty basic, but it was, we build out of the back, figure it out. As you get later in preseason, you'll see more patterns emerging. But today, it's trying to get the mindset there. And I think we saw that for the most part across both groups, better with the first 30, but that's the more first choice group, so you'd expect that.
Yeah, and then you pointed out it comes down to who's available and who's not, but you had even when you had younger players on the field with the second group, you had guys who had first team experience kind of in that midfield as a stabilizing agent, in a sense. Yeah. And whether that is intentional or whether or not, it is just a matter of who's available and who's not. Because again, it's a long list of people who are not available because of national team duty, coming off green cards, coming off injuries, excused absences away from the team. You ended up with even a guy like Ibarra, who was still 20 years old.
Yeah.
Had plenty of experience last year. He knows what to expect. He knows what to do. And having even guys like that who can be a stabilizing agent to, kind of reinforce the idea of, because a coach can yell it from the sideline all he wants so his face turns blue, but to have someone on the field who's reinforcing for those younger players of, hey, here's how we are going to play.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
And having a stabilizer in the first 30, like Osechu, having that stabilizer in the second 30, like Franco Ibarra. You've got both of those guys that are very quiet about who they are, but at the end of the day, you look back at their numbers and you look back at their activity and you go, man, they really, they really put out some quality there, but it's just very, very quiet in their manner of doing it. It's almost like they don't get recognized until after the fact because they've done so well in their game state.
No, in the second 30, Sadich is the more Hosetsu player. Ibarra is not quiet. Ibarra will come in with a tackle, and it ain't quiet. He's getting better on the ball, like we said earlier. But Sadich, moving from a more deep-lying role, playing a little bit more as a 10 when Morales came on, Sadich is a little bit more of that connector, that linker, that stabilizer, if that's what you want to call it, in the midfield. I thought Ibarra was really good as well. But I'll ask each of you guys before we get to questions, one kind of underrated thing that you noticed today. For me, it was in the first 30, Brad Guzan, very vocal, as always. There's nothing different about that.
Yeah.
But very specific in something that he was consistently saying to the midfield as McFadden was pushing forward a lot and trying to impact the attack. He was yelling at Hosetsu, you've got to be aware when he goes, you've got to stay. So when you think about the 4-2-3-1, if we want to call it that, the two holding midfielders, in this case it was Alonso and Hosetsu, the balance. And balance was a huge topic last year as well. And if your outside backs go, and Gonzalo Pineda talked about it afterwards, he said, he wants them to almost be like box-to-box guys. So when they go, one of your midfielders has to be able to cover that space. Not drop in as a true right back, but be aware that if the ball gets over your right back's head and now you're exposed, it's not a center back who's going to flare out there. What Brad was yelling specifically is he wanted Hosetsu, who was more on the right half of the field, to be the one who covers that. And it's back to that delaying idea. Slow up the play, let your team recover. But it was a really specific tactical thing that we didn't get a chance to see last year because you saw the team playing a lot with three center backs, with one holding midfielder. Those moments didn't happen in the same way. So it's something to watch for in preseason, the way this team will play. They want the central mids, whether it's Sosa, Alonso, Ibarra, Josechu, all of these different guys, they want them to be able to cover wide for the outside back when they go, and you almost get hit in transition in those moments.
Yeah, this is what we talked about back in the day with Frank de Boer era, where you don't want your possessions, especially when you're building up, you don't want them to end with a live ball turnover, end with a shot that goes out of play, end with the ball going out of bounds, end with a goal, something like that gives you a chance to reset. You don't want it to be a turnover in the middle of the field where then you're asking people to have to roll coverages. You want it to end with something that ends up with the ball out of bounds. You can reset yourself. And same thing in basketball, man. I mean, you're asking about, you know, we want this to end with a shot or a foul or a made basket or something that doesn't allow for transition.
Yeah, something
we
that creates a dead ball situation.
But when it does transition, when it does, you've got to have your coverage right.
Man. Yes, absolutely.
And that was something that Brad, I heard him a couple times yelling at Josechu in his moments.
People heard him here at the grill.
Yeah probably.
They probably heard Bobby Shuttlesworth too.
Yes.
Bobby's. Not as much. Not quite as much, except for the one time he was very colorful.
It was wonderful.
You got to do what you got to do, but you've got to have that communication, and you know Brad's going to be a leader in the group, but specifically to cover for those outside backs, that was something that jumped out to me a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things go in Athens this upcoming weekend, and as you said, man, it's a build-up. You'll get differences as each game goes along until we get to the dress rehearsal with Birmingham, first time in a couple of years. Now we haven't had the CONCACAF Champions League to deal with, so you go right into the season, and U.S. Open Cup eventually on the fray as well.
For me, Andrew Gutman, also in the first 30. You know, obviously no George Bello today, so Gutman, and it was something that Gonzalo Pineda had referenced, the aggressiveness of Andrew Gutman, working his way down the left-hand side, creating some chances, working some crosses in from the left. Andrew Gutman, obviously, for me, was something else that I looked at in the first 30 minutes. It's like, okay, he's taking those first steps here, first time out of the blocks.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of an idea that, like, Gutman's role will be so dramatically different than it has been. I mean, he was at Cincinnati 2 years ago. He was at Red Bulls last year. It's different in that he'll be expected to do more with the ball at his feet. But, you know, Atlanta will press high. And that was something that Gonzalo talked about afterwards. When they lose possession, they will press high. And if Gutman and the right back, if it's Lennon, if it's Hernandez, McFadden today, Washington in the second half, like when the ball turns over, you got to play. You can't just retreat to a position. You know, it's not 1976 soccer anymore. Like, you got to play where the game takes you. And I think Gutman and what he did at Cincinnati, where he played a lot, but tactically was a little bit of a mess. And then at Red Bulls last year, where, like, philosophically, tactically, it's pretty rigid, and he wasn't asked to play with the ball as much, the transition moments will be easy for him because that's what Red Bull preaches. It'll be more of the build-up play, more of making runs off the ball in possession. Those are the things that, as he gets more comfortable, we could see a lot of good things from Andrew Gutman this year. But I think the base of where his development has been will serve him well here. It's not like he's learning a new way to play.
I want to see how he does with the development of understanding where to make the runs and when, and how to recognize the space quickly, because it's not just going to be running. It's not going to be just playing box to box, hugging the outside touchline. You're going to see moments like we saw today where, we saw, for instance, on the right side, Luis kick out and Aiden McFadden make that undercutting run into that dead space.
The run we talked about that I said multiple times last year I hoped Brooks Lennon would start to make.
Yeah.
He made it. Like, we saw one run like that in the Charleston preseason game last year where he scored. I think Abdoulaye Diop hit a long ball to him. But then the way the team played under Heinze consistently, it was, no, you have to stay wide. No, you have to stay completely wide. Stay wide, stay wide, stay wide. And it was almost like, he had to break that. And if he can do that, because Araújo does like to go out really wide and find that space.
Yeah.
If Lennon can do that, Hernandez, it's a little more natural for him. If they can start to vary those runs up to where you're defending it, you don't know if he's going to make the long overlap or come inside and free up the space for Araújo, it's a lot harder to defend. It's less predictable. And you're going to have those opportunities on the other side too. You know, we almost exclusively would see George Bello overlap.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively. If Gutman can be a player who at times just enough, you know, it's just like you're just doing something differently enough to throw the other team off. If he can cut inside a little bit more and underlap, there will be more space the next time he overlaps.
Yeah, I would also point to the idea of being, being on the weak side. You know, if the play is pushing down the right side, a Gutman knowing where to be on the backside of the box. You know, Gonzalo Pineda talked about getting the opposite side fullback into the box.
Yeah.
That was something he was vocal about. We could hear it from where we were.
Yeah, getting into the box. And even if you're not, you know, crossing from the edge of the touchline back into the box, but if you're in the middle of a buildup, if it's, you know, Gutman, if it's Bello, if it's Aiden McFadden with the second team, and we saw McFadden thrive on this last year, making that weak side run where the play is leaning heavily on the left and he's coming in down the right side like a bat out of hell, and it ends up in a situation where he's getting the ball, there's a defender who has inside leverage on him, and he's able to create something. You know, Gutman's going to have those opportunities, I think, especially when you have, you know, Luis and guys like Brooks Lennon on the right side creating that much pressure.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. More bodies in the box today in the 18. That was something Pineda was really happy about. He mentioned it in his post-game comments. Again, all of those should be posted on the Atlanta United YouTube page afterwards. I'm not sure how fast they go up. I know last week's comments from the media or comments from the press conference stuff was up. So you can go to the YouTube page and see all that probably at some point today. What do we have for questions on Twitter?
We got one on each side.
Okay.
Shiva asks, how do you think missing some key players, Miles, Lennon, Joseph, and Hernandez, affects preseason preps?
Not much. I mean, it's different for each position, but, you know, it's not like they're hurt, which is a different conversation. When we're talking about Miles and at center back, I mean, it kind of is what it is. Like, being with the U.S., it's not dramatically different what he's being asked to do. There are certain things, and more of it's in build-up play. But Miles played a lot last year. I think he knows what Pineda's going to want. I'm sure there's communication and, like, videos and things being shared. He's up to speed on how Pineda will want his center backs to play this year. Lennon, I think Lennon's thriving right now with the national team, and it's a great situation for him to be in, and it'll benefit Atlanta United when he comes back. For Joseph and Hernandez, I mean, for Hernandez, it would have been a good opportunity for him to play today with Lennon gone. Joseph's Joseph. You know what Joseph is. You know what he's going to do at this point. You're kind of modeling things a little bit after what he can give you. I don't think any of it is a negative in any way because, again, these guys are playing. They're training. They're going to be fit. What it does is it creates an opportunity, and Conway talked about it. It was a huge opportunity for McFadden and Washington today on the right side. It was an opportunity for Mertz and the second 30 to get time. It was an opportunity for the draft picks. It creates an opportunity for guys to play where maybe they wouldn't have got to play if other guys were here. That's a positive always in my book because it increases your depth.
Second question, obviously, from the Storm Chasers. They wanted to know what the takeaways were for the visitors.
One, I mean, early on it was a struggle. Which is to be expected. I mean, it's a Tuesday 11 o'clock kickoff. That's not typical. You know, these guys probably don't train in the mornings during the week very often. They're not in season right now. You know, this is a group that a lot of them have been training together for a while now, but haven't been playing. So you can train for a while but not play, and then you're not sharp. Early on, they really struggled to find the speed of the game, which levels, that's to be expected. There's nothing wrong with that. Where I was impressed was as the first 30 went on against top competition, they defended pretty well. They didn't get forward a whole lot and create opportunities. I thought Camden Chupa was probably the one that was the most dangerous on the left for the Storm. They had a couple of set pieces, but they defended well. They were very well organized, even when they were struggling with speed of play. Storm was very well organized. They knew exactly what their game plan was. They did the best they could with it. I thought the second 30 was not, you know, even in terms of level, because still you're dealing with professionals and non-professionals. But it was a much more competitive 30 in the second 30. And the Storm had more opportunities going forward. They didn't get a shot, and that's good defending from Atlanta, good defensive principles across the board. But they had more of the play in the second 30. And, you know, I've talked about it before on the show, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it on Sunday after the Revolution play. These are two NPSL teams that have teams at various levels locally and are doing a youth component as well. And it's critical that both of them get this opportunity this week. It's critical that both of them continue to build on this. And it's such a huge, you know, just huge, like, eye-opening experience, I think, for the guys in these two groups who might have an opportunity to make a living doing this. I think Camden Chupa is one. I think there's others with the Storm. Okay, that's the benchmark. All right, these are the things that will help the Storm be better this season is, hey, remember that time we played Atlanta United and we struggled with this? Okay, let's do it better this time. Hey, remember what we did well? Let's do that and really, you know, dominate with it. It's huge.
Yeah, it was. In that first 30, it almost felt like the opening round of a boxing match where someone comes out and starts throwing quick jabs at Atlanta because of the attacking power of, you know, Araujo being able to just almost teleport between lines.
Araujo was throwing haymakers. He wasn't throwing jabs.
The man teleports between lines. That attacking power, I think, kind of caught them off guard. And because it's easy to say, hey, be prepared because that's a start. That's an MLS quality.
But until you get into the game.
That's an MLS quality starting line you're going to be facing up against.
And it's just like we talked about with the young Atlanta players. It's, you know, pace of play, pace of thought.
Yeah.
And when you're taking those guys with Atlanta United, and it's a struggle for some, when you take the guys from the Storm, like, it's another step further back and struggling with it. They adapted really well, though.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Is it felt like almost getting knocked off their base a little bit, but then they stabilized their legs and they were fine. It was just
they held onto the ropes and got their bearings.
Yeah, they did.
It was 10 minutes of, oh, they don't have their feet. Okay, now they have their feet. Yeah. It's not necessarily even, but
they did grow into it.
Yeah, and they defended well as a unit, and you could see good ideas there. It's just a matter of execution, like you said, talked about with game speed and thought speed. Is this just so hard? And you know, a guy like Chupa being able to, you know, the one that sticks out to me is where he takes it off McFadden.
Yeah.
And then not only that, I mean, he wins a physical tackle with McFadden three times in that sequence where he does it in a way that he's built like a bull, but he's finesse about it. He's not throwing his weight around in a violent, reckless manner. He's doing it in a way that's going to keep his opponent off balance without fouling him and create an opportunity. It wasn't just powerful. It was smart.
Yeah. Good player. Really good player. I think he's got a lot of potential. I don't know everybody in that group because it's not the same group that I saw last summer. Goalkeeper was good. I thought the goalkeeper made a couple of nice plays.
Yeah,
a couple of good plays on crosses. Andrew Carlton was with the Storm today. I know that's been talked about on social media. For the most part, he was playing a lot deeper. I mean, I've seen him play with local teams over the last few months. And, you know, traditionally he's playing as a 10. He might be out wide. He might be a false 9. I've seen all of those lately. In this one, and maybe it's the way the game played out a little bit, he was kind of sitting as a deep-lying playmaker at times, and he was trying to spring the ball wide and create the opportunities out in wide positions. He's trying to switch the point of attack. The pace, I thought, was where he struggled, and that's not really a new conversation. It's technique, no problems. Wonderful on the ball, but pace is always going to be the struggle for him, and it was today at times. But he played well. He counted himself really, really well. And I thought, as a whole, the Storm did. I thought it was a really good day for the club and a lot to build on as they go into an NPSL season this summer.
And you have, once again, you mentioned opportunity. This is an opportunity. This weekend is an opportunity for the Storm, for the Revs, where you can sit there and do your best, and you never know who's watching. And it's not just who's on site watching, but who catches wind of what's going on. And so you have these kinds of opportunities for what we're seeing here, what we're going to be seeing this weekend, and you're seeing these instances, and you never know who's looking.
Yeah, it's a credit to the leadership at both clubs. It's also a credit to Atlanta United, because not a lot of MLS teams are doing this kind of ramp-up. And, you know, I go back to what Pineda said, like, it's really important the way this preseason has been structured. This was a really important exercise for Atlanta United. You work for a week, you work on some concepts, you get to go do a test. He's like, it's like an exam. You get to go display what you've learned. Okay? he'll now go back and watch the tape, and he'll have his thoughts on it. His staff will have their thoughts. They'll say, we need to double down on this. Okay, we can move on from this. Like the build-up play, for example. It was, you know, a little generic today. All right, we're ready to try to work. We want to get it to the flanks in this way.
Right.
This is how our exit is going to be. You can start to go a step further. And it's not just from a workload standpoint, although that's part of it too. You need these tests. And the best thing that Atlanta United can be able to look back on this stuff with is that you've got local clubs who can give them a test.
Yeah.
You know, who can hang. You're not asking them to come in. You're not expecting them to come in and play the MLS team off the park. You're asking them to hang. Yeah. You're asking them to provide that sparring partner, that test. And the Storm did today, and I expect the Revs will on Sunday. It's a good opportunity. The results, you know, it's like an academy game. You want a good result, you're not going to get hung up on the result of it. You're going to look at what was produced in it. You know, you're going to look back and say how many chances were produced, how many chances were conceded.
That's one of the first things Gonzalo Pineda talked about, was being happy that there was, I think, one shot given up. Yeah. It wasn't a shot on goal, I don't believe.
Yeah. They didn't give up very much. They created a good bit. They need to be a little bit sharper.
Yeah.
They need to create some better chances. These are things that you ramp up towards, but you don't get to learn without a good test.
Right.
And I thought you had a good test today. So a lot of credit to the Storm. Excited to see the Revs on Sunday. Excited to see Atlanta United in the flesh today and playing a match. A lot of good positives. You know, it's the first game of preseason, so there's going to be things that will be expected to be stronger and sharper and better overall on Sunday, and the same for the next time out, and the same for the next time out, and the same for the next time out before you get to opening day against Kansas City. So we'll be back tomorrow morning. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Jared will be back tomorrow morning. John will not be with us tomorrow morning. Dylan Butler will be with us at 9:30. Mike Conti will be with us at 10. Tom Robinson will be with us at 10:30 to talk about the Barco and River Plate stuff. CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers, all kinds of things. So if you guys have questions, go ahead and start thinking about them, sending them in to us on Twitter, and we'll get to those. But thanks for finding us at 2:47 on a Tuesday afternoon, live from the Jerusalem Bakery and Grill, which is very highly recommended.
Start with the plug, end with the plug.
Yes. Come get the beef shawarma sandwich lunch special. It was amazing. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mucha platio.
Mucha platio. Mucha platio.